So for those of you who are on Zoom, we have a little something odd today in church. And for those of you who are here, they're wondering why they have a Bible, a sheet of paper, and a sitting on their chairs. And the reason is because we're going to do things a little bit differently today. Now, I know that God, hopefully God has been blessing you in 2022 so far. We're just in a little bit into it, but I hope he has. And so what we're going to do today is I'd like to take a couple minutes. And if you could just write down 10 things that you're thankful for. Now, it doesn't have to be something. There were pins right out there if you need one. Larry, can you grab some? If you need a pen, let Larry know. This doesn't have to be something like really deep and soul searching. Just something quick that you're thankful for, that God's blessed you with, or because he is so good. And then also, while you're at it, if you could, just write down something that you thought would either never happen, and yet it happened, or something that you thought was impossible, that God actually made possible. So we'll just take a couple minutes here and just do that. And if you want, the Bibles are there, so you can have something nice and solid to write on. So for those of you at Zoom at home on Zoom, just if you have a Bible nearby, you can use it. If you have a book nearby, go ahead and use it. We'll be going through these, and don't worry if you can't think of anything, we'll touch on that. But if you can't think of anything, come see me afterwards, and we'll have a nice talk. But yes. Yes, I could whistle the Jeopardy theme, but I figure that would distract you. Let's see, a three-letter word for everything. Well, that'd be God. And again, these don't really have to be that deep. I mean, you could literally list 10 things off just really, really quick. But this is for you guys. So this is how it gets peaceful and quiet. Okay. You could also think of 10 things that the Lord's done for you, that he's really done for you and helped you with. And don't worry, there are no wrong answers to this. You'll have to put your name. This will be graded 10 out of 10. Passing grades, grades will be A through F. We'll just take the fun out of everything, Paul. No, okay, no winner, no loser, no right, no wrong. I don't know about the no right or no wrong. This says something different. Everybody gets a participation trophy? Oh? So we'll take just a few more seconds here, and then we'll continue on. No snickering at other people's answers. I'm kidding. All right. Is everybody pretty much done? All right. So let's all just share them. If you got one you want to just chat out, go ahead. Don't be shy. It's great to testify. So I'll just start it off. So I'm very thankful for the beautiful sunshine that we had. Yes, and it can be something that low level. So what are some others that you guys got? Anna, your cat. Okay. Your husband. Oh, wife. There we go. Grandkids. Great grandkids. Church family. Okay, Larry, for you, great, 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 grand, oh, great grandkids. Sorry. The warm pool at the YMCA. Yes. Yes. The gift of health. Salvation. Now there's a good one. So running a business and employing people, and again, your wife. Second chances, there's a good one. And there's no second chances with this list. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. How about a vehicle that runs? How about God's unending love? A nice, warm house to live in? Food on the table? Clothes, good community. Sleep. What's that? Peace, hot water. So there's lots. What's that? Ooh, now that's an interesting one because we're going to touch on that. Moving on from 2021 to 2022. So we're going to touch on that. Rain, yes. And snow. I saw you out throwing snowballs. Yes. There's a lot of things. It reminds you of how great God is, doesn't it? And we lose that sometimes. We get caught in the dark times and we lose our focus on God and we kind of sort of get mired down in the world, and especially with 2021, because I gotta say, this was that's actually me. No, but yeah, well, thank you. But 2021 for me was a really difficult year. I faced some trials that I never thought, and I know all of us pretty much face some trials that we just wish, or we're glad that we're behind us. So, and we're in 2022 right now, and we're going to go forward with God. God is in control, and that's why we have to keep our focus on Him. Yeah, Larry? Church family again. But we have to keep our focus on God because the enemy, he wants to drive a wedge between us. That's why he brings us down in darkness, to try and turn us away from God, and to turn us in the world. He wants us to be completely separated from God and given into despair and discouragement. But now here's a question for you. Now why would we feel despair and discouragement? Because, come on now, right? The Bible promises sunshine, rainbows, lollipops, right? Oh, come on. I know it's in there somewhere. In a different sense. Well, let's see here. I think it's in James. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I'm sure it is. Let's see. Consider it pure joy, my brothers. See, joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So let perseverance finish its work so that you may be more mature and complete, not lacking anything. Huh. Oh, maybe it's a little further in James. Let's try James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Well, dang, not even tulips and tiptoes. Oh, wait. It's in Peter. I'm sure it's in Peter. Let's try 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Okay, maybe it's a little further in Peter. I might have gone a little too soon here. Let's try 1 Peter 4:12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you.
It's got to be Paul. Paul. I know it started with a P. I knew his name started with a P, so it's got to be in Paul. Surely Paul says it, right?
We'll try Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Yes. Huh. Maybe I need to study this more.
No, wait. I know what it is. It's Jesus, because he is the Prince of Peace after all. Surely he said that life is a pleasure cruise, like on the Love Boat. Nice little peaceful trip, right? Let's try John 16:13. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Yeah. Amen. Because there are going to be trials. That is actually what's promised in this. There's no sunshine, nor lollipops, nor an easy ride. I've heard some people say, quite a few actually, well, why are these things happening to me? Because I'm a Christian. I've said Jesus is Lord, so why am I going through these difficult times? But that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says, no. You, because you're a Christian, you're going to go through them. Because God's going to test you. He's going to refine you. He's going to make you into who he wants you to be. And I know to you, it may not make sense of why should we rejoice in our sufferings and our trials. If anything, I want to run for it. But how many of you can remember when you were just little kids and you went through growing pains? For those of us who can remember, I can tell you my legs ached at night. Oh, they killed me. But thinking back on it, how long did that pain last before it was washed away by the elation when you would go and put your back to the wall and your parents would knock off your new height? You were like, yes, I gained that much. And I don't lie, you're in church. I know those of you with siblings, you were like,
And even without siblings, you'd still, with your mom and dad, were like, almost gotcha. Almost gotcha. But that hurt, that pain that you went through to get to that point, that's exactly what these trials are, except in a spiritual sense. When we go through our trials, we grow closer to God and we learn to rely on Him more and more. And in doing so, we become more like Him. So at the end, we receive the crown of life. Now, the Bible says that we all go through trials. And though our trials may be different between each of us, it's the fact that we all go through them. And it's how we choose to go through them that is the question. Do we let our trials overcome us, or do we overcome our trials? Do we stand alone on our own strength and fall apart, or do we learn to stand with Him and stand strong? When these trials come on us, we can take comfort knowing that He will not leave us nor forsake us. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." He is with us in our trials, and He will still steer us to victory through them. If we rely on His strength and not our own, we will prevail. As Jesus said, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." You know, it's not something that we have to try and do. I mean, we've already failed at that. But He has done it for us, and we just have to believe in Him. Now, it may not make any sense to us how we can come out for the better as we're going through our trials, but we have faith in God. So say faith in God. Zoom, I couldn't hear you. And we have faith that He will deliver on His promises, because He is faithful and true. So say faithful and true. Come on, Zoom. You're dropping the ball here. He is a great, great Father, and He loves us. So does He love us when we've pulled away from Him? Yes. Does He love us when we are close to Him? Does He want the best for us despite ourselves? Yes, He does. Jeremiah 29:11 says, He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith Jehovah, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope in your latter end." So how much does He love us? Well, we just went through Christmas, and Easter's a short hop away. And we know that He sent His only Son here to be born in the lowliest of circumstances, in stench. Because, I'm sorry, animals stink, especially when they're like that. Those of you who've been around animals can testify to that. No one else, in a lowly manger, only to be going for the one thing that He was here for, which was to die on the cross for us, as the spotless lamb to take away our sin. That's how much He loves us. And we have to get to Him. Now, there's two paths in this world. One that leads to everlasting darkness away from God, and one that leads to everlasting light and eternity with God. And Jesus put it this way in Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14. "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." It is up to each one of us to choose which path we are going to take in this life. This is the free will that God has given us, is we have to choose. Psalm 1 tells us, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So which path are you on? That's the question. Now is a good time, since we just started this year, to reflect and find out. So which path do you think God wants you to be on? Straight and narrow. I was waiting. That's right. He wants you to be on the one where he gets to be with you in the end and you with him. That's the one that he wants you to be on. Now, the world will try and tell you that in this difficult times, there is no God. And we hear it now even more and more. Or the world will try and say that if there is a God, that he doesn't care about you. Or that he's powerless to do anything. That you might as well just give in to despair and depression because, well, the world's going to hell in a handbasket anyway, so you might as well join in before the end comes. And the world tries to tell you that it really doesn't matter what you do in the end because we're all just going to just die and that's going to be it. But again, these are all lies. Every one of them. Remember, the enemy wants to see you removed from God, and he is willing to do anything to throw out any lie he can to get you away from God, to turn your back onto God and to not be saved. But also remember that in your hand you have a little written testimony that I have an inkling was written by a very good witness, few good witnesses, that proves that these are all lies. These blessings, these gifts, these things that you're thankful for, they're there in both the good and the bad times because they're from God and God loves you. Now think about it for a moment. Were you thankful for these things just at a moment in the past and then, yep, that was yesterday. Today is a new day. No. No, you're thankful for them as you were yesterday, as you are today, as you will be tomorrow. Because you're focusing more on the good than you are on the bad. And the reason why there was the question for the one thing that is impossible, the one thing that was possible that you thought was impossible is because in this list you see the way God works, and many things he does you think are impossible for him to do. And the world definitely tells you, God can't do that. The science, the doctors, pick something, say that it can't be done. But that's not faith. And that's not knowing a loving God. And God proved forever that he can do the impossible when he had an elderly Elizabeth give birth to a son named John. And when he allowed a teenage virgin to give birth to her son. And the closer you get to God, the more intimate your walk with him becomes, the more you understand this, and the more you revel in it. Now, the list that you wrote out that you were thankful for, so what did you write them on? What was the one thing that was strong enough to hold up that list? The word. The inspired worm, inspired word. The inspired word, which is a firm foundation for the promises of God. And it is a firm foundation to build a loving relationship with God on. God will never give up on you. So why give up on him? Don't.
don't give up on God. Believe in him and have faith in him. Do you guys remember in the Old Testament, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt? God came, freed them, took them through the desert, brought them to the promised land. Now, the 12 tribes of Israel, each tribe sent one member to go spy out the land, the promised land, to see what it was like. 10 of the spies came back, and they had looked at the promised land at their own eyes and what they could do. And they said, there'd be giants there. We can't possibly conquer them. 2 of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, they went in looking at what God could do. They believed fully in God's promise. And they said, hey, there are giants, but God is with us. He is stronger than they are. And what ended up happening? Because of the Israelites' disbelief, God had them march through the desert for 40 more years until that whole generation had died off, except for Caleb and Joshua. God let them enter the promised land because they were faithful and true to him. And when you read about them, they didn't come in as like bent over with canes or walkers, barely able to move. No, they came in strong. They came in and they conquered. They said, we're just like I was 50 years ago. Because God was with them. So this coming year, are you going to go into it with your eyes on the world or on God? Are you going to turn this page in your life that this coming year is with discouragement and despair, letting the world dictate your life and trying to rely on your own strength? Or are you going to go into it holding hands with Jesus and just holding on to him with all that you have, knowing that he's with you and will not forsake you? Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Say all your heart. Excellent. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And what path should we be on? The straight and narrow. So more than that, though, our Bible is our Siri, for those of you who have Siri, on which path to take to stay on the straight and narrow to end up with God. And of course, like Siri, if we get turned off on it, we start hearing this little recalculating. That's actually the Holy Spirit in us telling us that we've gotten off track. But this is a good way to stay on track and to not get wandered off. A pastor named Dr. David Jeremiah, he put it this way: for us to stay on the right road and not get detoured, there are two things we have to be proactive about. First, stay in the written word. Second, remember that the written word is all about the living word. Now, who is the living word? Jesus. Right. John 1:1-4. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Now, Dr. Jeremiah goes further on to say that the reason we study this is to know Jesus. And this is God's ultimate love letter to us. And as we study it, we learn to fall in love with him over and over again. Spending time in the Bible is one of the ways you can spend time with God, getting to know him. And so again, draw near to him and allowing it to speak to you through the Holy Spirit, because he will guide you to all truth. And 2022 is definitely the year to do it, as well as the rest of your life in this world, because it will speak to you if you will hear it. Now, you might be saying that, but Matt, 2021 is over. That giant reset button, it's been pushed. It's done. And everything's good.
Well, technically, as we've been talking, yes. Yes, it is good because God is with us. And he won't leave us nor forsake us. And he will be with us in our good times and our bad. And nothing compares to the promise that we have in him. So yes, yes, it is going to be good. But you have to remember, God does not think in terms of years. You know, we make promises at the start of each new year, our resolutions to exercise more, be more kind. You could pick several. We usually end up giving up on them a couple months in. And then the new year comes and like, we could do it this year. And we repeat ourselves. But God doesn't think in that term. He thinks in an eternal sense. He sees things more in seasons of light and darkness to get you to be where he wants you to be. He knows how much time he's allotted to you. And he knows where he wants you to be and how to get you there in that time. And he might give you a dark season to grow you, then a good season to give you a rest. Dark season, dark season. But it's all to get you to the point where you build that relationship with him. Isaiah 40:28 says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." And Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Amen to that. Because I know I need him. I really need him for that. The year for us, though, we use it to keep track of the seasons and to mark time. But that doesn't mean anything to him. But with time, there is one question to think about. Are we closer to Christ's return today than we were yesterday? Are we in the end times? Well, only the Father knows. I'm not even going to try to add anything to him. But it does kind of seem that way. I mean, when we look at Scripture, it tells us that in the end times, people will be enamored by their own teachings. There will be many false teachers. Truth will become lies. Lies will become truth. Plagues, wars, rumors of wars. It does seem like we're in that time. And we are getting closer to Jesus' return than we were yesterday or a month ago or a year ago. And that things are going to get worse before they get better. But as Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." And that's what we have to do. We have to endure to the end. And we do that by growing closer to him and not focusing on this world, but spending our time in this and in prayer and in fasting and just focusing on him and letting him become our life. And that's why we have the word that the Holy Spirit reveals in us. Through this, we have prayer. And the word, though, is the good, firm foundation to build our hope, our peace, our truth on. Because that is what it is. It's what we should be building our lives on. You know, at the beginning of this, I was talking about the Bible being full of sunshine, promising sunshine, rainbows, and lollipops. And yes, there was a love boat, but we won't talk about that. But if you don't know this, how do you know if that was true or not? Because there's many false teachers out there who are trying to add to this and to take away from this. And that's why we have to know it. And through it, we get to know the Lord and we get to know the direction that he wants us to take in our life, to keep us on the straight and narrow to spend eternity with him. He never said that we were not going to go through trials, quite the opposite, that we are, but he will be with us through them. That is his promise. Like Jesus said, "I am with you until the ending of the age." And we can hold tight to that. He loves you. He loves you when you're going through dark times. He's still there waiting with his arms wide open, saying, "Turn to me and I can help you through this. Take my hand, I will lead you through this." But I know that it's easy to get distracted by the darkness, by the world, by everything that's going on, and losing your focus, and you rely on your own strength. And in the end, that is not what you need. You need to have patience and walk with him and allow him to lead you through the dark times. Now, as a final, couple final thoughts here. One, I urge you to take this list and put it somewhere where you can see it, to remind yourself that God is with you always until the end, and you can see the things that he's done. Some of these things that you're thankful for may have come from the dark times. It may have come, and probably they came from good times, but they're from God. And if you have this where you can see it, you can remind yourself of it, because you will get mired down in, when things go bad, and you'll lose your focus. And it's good to have something there to keep your eyes on it. Or if you want, you can do a praise journal and just write down the things that God has done for you in your life. You'd be amazed at how often God works in your life when you start writing it down. It is quite a bit. But when you have this, it's kind of like when you're at home and it's night and the power goes out, and you light a candle to have some light until the power comes back on. And that's what this is. These blessings are God is that little candle to focus on in the dark seasons until you re-enter a light season. Because he is, again, he is with us. He was with our brothers and sisters that have come before us. He will be with us, with our brothers and sisters who will come after us. And he is with us now, in the good times, in the bad times, in the light, in the dark, in day and night. He never wavers, he never faints, and he never grows tired. Now, if any of you need help in seeking the Lord or seeing the light in the darkness, I'll be down here if you want to talk, or you can talk to Pastor Brad or Tom or Jeannie. I urge you to keep your focus on the Lord in these coming times and stay close to him and stay in his word. And Father, we just come before you today. We give you thanks for the blessings that you have given us. Though dark times may fall upon us, Lord, we know that as a good, good Father, you are there to grab our hand and lead us through it. And sometimes you even carry us through it. And we thank you for this. And we ask you to please help us to rely not on our own strength, but on you. And let, Lord, we ask you to please guide us on the straight and narrow. Please keep us there. Please don't let us wander off and get lost, Lord. But please help us to be found and to be able to spend eternity with you. And in all this, we give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.